But welcome back to True Vine Talks, everybody.
Yay.
Today, we're going to talk about boundaries once again, and specifically the importance of consequences, right? The importance of people experiencing natural consequences to their actions, their choices.
Yeah, so that's great. Let's define what is a boundary.
When we are talking about boundaries, as when it comes to our topic today, I think it's like it is your behavior in response to someone else's behavior. Does that make sense?
Yes. So remember Pavlov's dogs, Rachel?
Yeah. I do remember it actually. I don't remember a lot of Psych 101, but I do remember Pavlov's dogs and the bell. Yeah.
Yes. And what was he testing? He was testing.
I think it was like conditioned responses. Is that right? So he would ring a bell and then he would give the dogs food, and the dogs naturally salivate in response to food, because their body's getting ready to digest, right, and eat. And the dogs eventually got to the point where they would salivate just by hearing the bell, because they knew that the food was coming next. So their body was primed from hearing the bell. They knew, oh, food's coming. I got to get ready to eat.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. So when we're setting a boundary, like what you just defined, my behavior in response to someone else's behavior has to change in order to extinguish the bad behavior. Did I say that correctly?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So if, and in relationships, we have to have a no, or people will treat us however they want to. They'll have us doing, their laundry. They'll have us doing their, feeding them. We could just keep doing for people, right? Because people are selfish and self-promoting and self-gratifying. So people will allow you to do whatever you're willing to do for them. That's the first law of human nature. And
Well, it's also how we learn. If we never experience consequences, we don't learn.
exactly.
No amount of support and help is going to make us learn the way consequences do. And I don't mean punishment. I am not talking about punishment. I'm talking about natural consequences. For example, here's just a really generic one. If I leave my house and the weather says it's going to rain, and I don't pack a coat or an umbrella, I'm going to get wet. That's a natural consequence to me not being prepared.
Yes, if I go to the restaurant and I only have $100 and it costs $200, then that's a natural consequence. I'm going to have
Yeah.
to go do the dishes.
And we learn from that. We learn to think ahead and plan better and be more prepared.
Yeah.
Be aware. Yeah.
So true.
If we've always got someone coming along beside us and being like, oh, don't worry about it. Here's the rest of the money you need. Oh, I brought a coat for you. Here's an umbrella. We don't have a chance to learn.
Thank you. That's exactly right. And that's what the Pavlov's dogs comes into, is like when they ring the bell, they would salivate and then they would get food. So, I think the behavior of conditioning people that, hey, you don't have a consequence. So they ring the bell because they need something, and then you just go ahead and feed them and give them everything. So
Yeah.
then what
Someone's
happens?
always there to help and support and make up for my lack of planning and foresight. What I'm learning is I don't need to think about ahead. I don't need to plan. Why would I? I've never had to in my life. Someone's always come through.
What would that be like? I'm thinking about.
To just be a loose cannon, like completely irresponsible.
Yeah, Rachel's gonna catch me if I fall. Rachel's gonna pay my lunch. Rachel, yeah, somebody just to come in and do it. What would that
Yeah.
be like? I can't even imagine.
I think like on paper it sounds good, but I think in reality we need to feel a certain amount of autonomy and responsibility and independence to have confidence and feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Because if I can't do things for myself and someone else is always cushioning or giving or.
Learned helplessness is the word that comes to my mind.
Good. Very good. Learn helplessness. Can we tell
Which
our.
means, like, yeah, I'm no amount of help, right, is ever going to be enough. I am just incapable and irresponsible, and someone's going to always have to step in and save me. Like, I
Yep.
need to be rescued because I'm just incapable of anything.
Yeah. That is
It's
so
just,
true.
it's a lot of shame. It creates a lot of shame. People do learn that about themselves.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm thinking about the guy at the bath in the scriptures where, he's laid there for 30 years and he can't get in and he needs healing and people just walk by and they don't help him. And when Christ comes up to him, he says, "Do you want to be healed?" He asks, "Do you want to get up? Do you want to be healed?" Because I think it's important that we ask that question. Do you really want to stop laying by the pool of healing? I don't know the exact word for it, what it was called, but he's saying, do you really want to get up and do? Or do you want to stay there? Stay stuck? Do you want to be helpless? Do you want just to lay there and just beg for food? He asked him that more or less. And he's like, yeah, I want to get well. It's like, well, okay, get up and walk. So he gets up and walks. Get up and
That's
walk.
all it took. 30
Yeah.
years of sitting there waiting for someone to
Yeah.
do it for him.
Get up
For
and
some like
walk.
miracle to move him to the, yeah.
Yeah. And then some people say, well, I would have inched my way over into the pool of healing. I would have, like, I'd done something. I don't remember which
Right.
teacher taught that one of them did. And I was like, yeah, do you really want to get up and do for you and live out your life with some purpose and responsibility? Yeah. We can't avoid being responsible for our own wellness, can we?
Right. Things aren't just going to happen. They're not just going to fall into your lap. It
No.
takes action.
It
And
does.
the more you try to get people to move, get like force them, and like, I don't know. I think sometimes people confuse support with enabling. Supporting
Ooh.
someone is teaching them how to do it themselves, right? Instead of just giving someone money, I teach them how to budget.
Well
And I
said.
let them make mistakes. I let them run out of money.
Yeah.
So they learn. I didn't budget well. I gotta do something different next time.
Right. Like eat out less or don't buy the newest article of clothing you can find or, things. Things that you don't need. Yeah, that's true. So that's good. When you said enabling it, it really kind of stuck out for me, Rachel. Enabling is if I enable something. What kind of bond, I'm bringing in attachment stuff, but what kind of bond am I creating when I enable someone to be dependent on me? What am I doing?
is an insecure bond where you are the anxious, preoccupied person. Hovering and kind of making sure everything's okay all the time, right? I think it gives people a false sense of control, right? Like, if I'm making sure this person doesn't hit rock bottom, or something awful doesn't happen, that gives me a sense of relief, right? Like, I know that they're going to be safe and okay as long as I'm stepping in and taking over.
Exactly. A sense of control for that person's well-being, which in turn is your erasing the natural consequences in a sense.
Right.
So the natural consequences is, I think, God's way of giving us the, hey, this doesn't work. You touch the hot pan. Ouch.
Exactly.
Ouch.
You're not going to do that again.
Yeah.
At
We
least
keep
not
that.
intentionally, right?
Yeah, exactly. What makes people take the ouch out? I think you just spoke to that. Like, what
Yeah,
makes
I
it
think it's
yeah.
self-soothing. It makes you anxious because you care so much about that person. You love them. You
Yeah.
don't want to see them hurting. You don't want to see them experiencing a negative consequence. And sometimes a natural consequence, it can appear to be negative. No, right? They burn their hand.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Like you get hurt, and instead of you putting like, you're like, stop them. They have to experience the burn so that they won't do it again. But if you ran there every time, protect them, then they're just going to keep going for the stove.
Right. And we're using that metaphorically. We're not suggesting you let anyone like actually burn yourself.
Oh
Yeah.
no, not at
There's a
all.
difference between like being like, hey, but here's the thing. You can we're talking about adults here too, like
Oh please, yes, absolutely.
children that don't know any better. Like you're absolutely gonna step in and
Redirect and protect.
redirect. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it is an adult, and you say, "Hey, don't do that. I don't think it's good for you." You can't make them. You can't force someone to do what's best for them, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think you brought up something really good, Rachel. You said there's a sense that they have control over the outcome for that individual that's going in a direction that's destructive.
Yeah. False sense of control.
And culturally, Americans, we do tend to be like, very individualistic. Whereas other cultures are more collective. So they have collective consequences that change behavior, but then we do more individual consequences to change behavior. So, yeah, I think that's important to know. Though, like if someone's going outside the norms, the group norms, they will shun them in some cultures. And in America, we kind of like, hey, you're going out there, and we'll let you experience that because we can't control what individuals do. I mean, we just can't control it. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
And this is like when it begins to hurt you.
Ooh, thank you.
Right? That's another thing that we're talking about to make it clear. We're not just talking about anything here, but when you need to set a boundary and allow someone to experience a consequence is situations when it is impacting you. Someone's always asking for money and never paying you back. That's impacting you because that's hurting you financially.
Yes, good point. Sleepless nights, Rachel, like if they call because they're at the bar at 3 a.m. and they don't have a way home, and you keep going back and getting them. It's like, well, call an Uber and pay for one. That's your consequence. You got to pay for an Uber because you didn't plan accordingly. And they're keeping you up all night and you're not getting any sleep every day. That's impacting your mental health, your physical health. And if they keep asking you to do that, the thing is they don't care about you.
That's
No one
true.
believes that. No one believes that. They think, of course they care because I'm doing so much for them. No, actually, no. You're losing respect.
They might care about you and they're taking advantage of you.
Yeah. And they don't take you seriously.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Linda will do just ask
Until
her.
she won't.
Oh, yeah. Yes. A good example of boundaries is when someone on social media starts lashing out and saying harsh words, strong, powerful, hateful, unkind things about you, and you remain a friend and it shows up on your feed and you continue to remain friends with them, but they're tearing other people down, they're tearing this group down, they're tearing these people down. That is not blocking them or correcting them, is enabling that same behavior.
Oh,
You're
yeah.
giving them a platform to abuse you, and I think that's wrong. I think you need to have the difficult conversation. That's not cool to put that on social media. And when you do that, I'm blocking you. I don't want to talk to you. There's a consequence. No one wants to give that consequence on social media. I'm like, no, they
Yeah.
should not talk badly about other people or groups of people or hating and,
Yeah.
do you think people should block people that
I
project
do.
that?
Yes. I do. I'm very picky about who's a part of my social media.
Absolutely. Don't tear people down.
Yeah.
People are so ballsy now about what they say about other people on social media, and it's not okay. That's not
Very hurtful, very harmful.
a
Yeah.
platform.
It contributes to hate. Yeah.
So we boundaries are in everything. You gotta have
Oh, yeah.
limits to what you're
Yeah.
willing to accept from people.
And sometimes for me, the boundary is pulling back and looking like you're doing nothing, right? Just not responding, you know? If someone's mean and nasty, right? I'm just like, I'm not even going to respond to that. Like, where did that come from? You know? If I get a mean, nasty text from someone, I'm like, no, thank you.
Look.
And if you never apologize and you start just texting me, I'm like, we're done. I don't have time to pacify people. Yeah.
No. And the hardest thing that we've done as parents is learning how to say no to our boy when we need to. Hard for mom to do that. It's hard for a mom to say no to their baby boy. And we've had to, like not anything negative or immoral or nothing
You have
moral.
to say no sometimes, yeah.
Mom, can I have $100? Oh. Mom, can we do this? Mom, it's just no, I think I've given you enough this month.
Yeah.
It's hard for a mom. It's hard for a mom. Rachel knows. It's hard to say no to your baby.
It is.
But you know what? Saying no to them makes them spend less money on Pokemon cards.
It sure
Right?
does, right? It's a natural consequence.
Yeah. Mom's not buying your Pokemon cards. You have to buy your food. Yeah. So, just learning when to something doesn't sit right with you. I think there was this podcaster, what's his name? Jay Shetty.
I'm not familiar with him. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, you'll know, like, if something doesn't sit right in your gut, I think you just get still and someone is taking advantage of you or crossing a line with you. You just kind of sit with that. If it hurts in your gut, and that's telling you need to say no. No.
Yeah.
I'm
If
rambling.
you try really hard, get still and just sit with your own body and how you're feeling about that situation, you do, in fact, know what to do. It's just sometimes you don't want to do that. The thought of doing what you need to do scares you, and that's okay.
And the fear could come from, oh, they won't love me anymore. They'll just I'll lose them. They won't stay. Yeah. And that can be scary, and sometimes you got to do the hard stuff to help people.
Yes.
So,
I think a
go
lot of times it is a avoidance of guilt.
ahead.
If I stop enabling and something bad happens to this person, I'll never forgive myself.
So are you playing God in their life?
Mm.
Little G? If you're always rescuing, doing, comforting, rescuing, I mean, what are you doing? I'm not saying that that's always the case, but sometimes it's like, well, what are you always the hero for in this person's life when they've created situations that got them there? Does that land right? I don't know.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why else might they get scared to set boundary?
People hate conflict. They don't want to upset anyone.
Yeah.
We've already talked about the sense of having control over the situation. Nothing horrible will happen as long as I'm stepping in and smoothing things over and taking care. Yeah. Are you thinking of another reason?
No, those are all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking like reasons why we would constantly say yes. And I think you and I've touched on it several times, Miss Rachel, like saying yes is when you were a kid, there was never a no. The adults, the older, wiser others around you never said no. We can't do that, or is that healthy for you? Is no even in the vocabulary of the family of origin?
Yeah, S culturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, just even within the cultural, like just the dynamics of your family or of your community or of just society in general, right? Like if it's a widespread family thing and you're not the only one rushing in and helping, right? There's also maybe like aunts and uncles or grandparents or whoever. You might feel bad if, like, you're the only one who's like, I'm not doing this anymore, stepping back. It's like, well, that's going to make me look bad because I can't make everybody else stop, too.
Oh, you know what, Rachel, when you said that, I have known folks to say every time I went to my grandparents' house, I was made to hug all my relatives and let them kiss me. And it felt very uncomfortable. Like they didn't have a physical boundary. Their parents said, no, you have to go kiss that person. And that didn't sit well with their body. Not that it was weird
Right.
or
Yeah.
nothing shady, just that didn't feel right to them.
Sure.
The parents said,
They
no, you can't say no.
weren't allowed to, like, they took consent off the table. Right?
They
You don't
did.
have control over your own body. Yeah, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And then they felt yucky. They didn't like
Yeah.
it. So having a no helps you to feel safe and helps the other person to have consequences in a lot of situations. Yeah. Especially like with social media, the block and delete is a wonderful way to say what you're doing and putting out there, that's not part of what I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think it's also like for whatever reason, this is a societal thing again. We're told that like the more we do, the better a person we are. So
Oh.
it's like if I do less, if I stop supporting this person, if I stop talking to them, if I stop giving them money, if I stop whatever, that'll make me a bad sibling or a bad parent or a bad child or whatever.
Oh, Rachel, are you saying like if they would pull back that they think the public view of them changes?
Yes.
Oh, I
View
never.
of self and public view, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
So
because I think the view
people.
of self is like, I do this because I love and care about this person. And so if I stop, I'll feel like a bad person because I'm not loving them, even though there are plenty of other ways to love that person. Better ways, even.
Yeah. And so if they get public scrutiny for not rescuing and every time, then that reinforces the behavior of rescuing. Ding, 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 Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah.
There's a need, there's a need. Step in, right? Do whatever they need, whatever they want. And then the public
Yeah.
looks at you and says, "Well, boy, a hero. That's a good person." Hey, I'm guilty.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been trying to be a hero for people sometimes.
Yeah, no one wants a bad reputation. No one wants people to perceive them in a negative light or make assumptions that they're not doing enough.
Yeah.
But part of loving someone as an adult is letting them experience the consequences of their actions so that they can have a chance to grow. Doesn't always guarantee that they will, but you're at least giving them the opportunity. Whereas if you're always stepping in, you're not even giving them the opportunity.
You're right. You're not even giving them the opportunity. And when isn't that quote or that name of the book, "When loving you is hurting me"?
I haven't read that one, but
Yeah.
I have seen that title.
So if I love you to the point that I'm hurting mentally, spiritually, physically.
That's when you know that something needs to change, we need to do something different, right?
Yeah. Hey, and it's okay if all your family of origin gets mad at you. It's okay. It's okay. Just let them be mad at you. Because eventually what happens is they come back around and they look at you and say, "You were really right, and you had a right to set a boundary with that person. We weren't, we were calling you names back in the background because we thought you should do more. Be more, be do Christ-like." And Christ-like behavior is not enabling people to stay stuck. Okay.
It's not. Yeah.
So.
If you're reaching a point where you're like, I don't know what else to do, the answer is probably to pull back and do less.
Good, Rachel. Well said. Say that again.
Yeah. If you've reached a point where you don't know what else to do, the answer is probably to pull back and do less.
That's good. I like that. Do less. That's part of that letting go. Letting go.
Yeah, because you've exhausted yourself. You've tried everything.
Everything. Standing on your head, bought flowers, strawberries, chocolate, everything.
Yes.
You've taken to all the treatments, all the things, all the spas in the universe. I mean, you've coached, you've prayed, you've just done everything. So at some point it's all in
Yeah.
vain.
Yes.
All in vain.
And there's always a caveat, right? Like caveat queen, but
You
I'm
are.
not talking about a romantic relationship here. If you feel like you've done everything, go to couples therapy, right? But this is anything other than your romantic partner I'm talking about
Correct.
here. I'm talking
Friendship.
about like with your
Somebody.
friend, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, dad, brother, sister, child, whatever. If you feel like you've done everything, step back.
Step back. I like it. So what else do we want to our listeners to know about setting a boundary?
You're not a bad person.
Nope.
Boundaries are a way to express love. They are not mean. Love and limits.
Love and limits. Good job. Yes. And they will protest if you've been enabling a person for
Oh, yeah.
years. They're going to be ticked off. So expect conflict in the beginning and take a step back, like Rachel
You
said.
are disrupting the cycle. You are
Yes.
disrupting what is comfortable and familiar and routine and expected. And we just naturally don't like that as humans. So, yeah, the protest will come. It's okay.
If every day Charlie rubbed my feet every single day, and then he just stopped, he doesn't.
Like, what?
I was like, you better rub my feet. I'm mad. Just, anything.
Right.
If I bring Rachel coffee or tea every morning, she likes tea, and she's like, where's my tea, Linda? You didn't bring me tea.
Right. Be like, Linda's mad at me. What's, you know, you they're going to make those natural assumptions, so you can just expect it and communicate that I'm not mad at you. I still love you and I always will. I cannot continue to do this thing that I've always done.
And own it. Say, yeah, I have been a little too much. I enabled. Admit it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I want to be part of your problem. I want to be part of your positive outcome in life. You
Yeah,
got
I'm
to
happy
unconditionally.
to help you in these other ways by helping you make a budget, by going to the bank with you and helping you open a savings account, by whatever. Helping you download the Uber app. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
You want to uncondition people that are, taking advantage of you and you've been enabling. You want to uncondition them to come to you for everything, to be your little God. You don't want that. So every time they ring the bell, don't jump. Don't jump.
Right. It is, you want to foster a certain level of independence,
Autonomy, because you're not going to be here
autonomy.
forever, right?
Right.
You won't
Nobody
be here
will.
forever for your
Right.
baby.
Right.
So he's got to sustain himself. He's got to do it himself. Grant's got to do it himself. I can't, mom can't buy everything. One day mom won't be here. Can you do it yourself? Yeah, he can. He really can. He can do it himself. And he does do a lot himself. I'm proud of him. It's just you got to train them not to come to you for everything. Oh, that's hard as a mom. Yeah. Well, you did a great job. Do
Thanks. I think
y'all with that?
I think we both did good. Hopefully this is helpful for folks.
Yeah.
Setting boundaries is hard. And we maybe talk about it like it's easy. It's not. It can be very challenging. It's very intimidating. So normal to be afraid of conflict. We don't want to create tension. We just want things to be calm and peaceful. But if you're going out of your way to make things calm and peaceful on the outside, but on the inside, you're like, ah, like stressed and tense and, overwhelmed, then it's not sustainable for you.
It's not sustainable. Rachel's right. Your body's signaling to you. You're doing too much.
So seek the support of a counselor who can
Please.
walk you through setting boundaries and support you and validate you and encourage you.
Yeah. That's very good. Yeah.
All right. Until next time, everybody take care. Bye.